Welcome to Tuesday Topics. I'm Paul Edwards in Miami, Florida, and we very much appreciate all of you who are here tonight to participate in our discussion. I'd like to thank Rachel and Larry, the dynamic duo in Orlando, who are back together and recording again this week. Next, I'd like to thank George Byes of Talking Communities, who made it possible for us to use this software. And finally, I'd like to thank everyone who's turned up tonight to be a part of our discussion. If you'd like to join us for Tuesday Topics, come to the Politics Room at ourplace.acbradio.org at 9 Eastern on Tuesdays. We are going to continue the discussion of relationships. Last week, we spent some time talking about relationships, and I think began to explore a lot of the variables that operate. And I guess one of the things that emerged was that relationships between blind and sighted, or blind and blind, or whatever, weren't the key issue. The key issue, according to virtually everyone, was that in fact the relationship itself was what mattered. It was whether the relationship was solid and effective. Now, I don't think that we were qualitatively, though, trying to judge relationships last week. Or actually, I think we were, but I don't think we needed to. What I think we want to do is to try to describe characteristics of relationships. That is, differences that operate within relationships because of the folks that are involved. So as we proceed tonight, we aren't making value judgments really about what sort of relationship is better or best. What we are doing is trying to explore how they're different one from another. And hopefully that will enable us to shed light on what makes relationships work and what makes them not work. Having said that, it's really hard for me to know what first question to begin with tonight. The one I began with last week was an absolute bomb. So I think that what I'm going to do this time is to say, let's sort of take up where we left off last week. The last question that I asked last week is, what does a blind woman bring to a relationship that might be different from what a person who's sighted brings to a relationship?
This is Jeff from Brisbane, Australia. I have a little difficulty answering this question because I think a lot of the things that I think blind women bring to relationships are the kinds of things that I would want in a relationship with anyone. Maybe that just means I would be more likely to find it with a blind woman than a sighted woman, I don't know. I think one thing that you would find, and that I have found with the blind women that I've had relationships with, and they're the only women that I have had relationships with, is that there's obviously, for me as a blind man, a great deal of empathy and shared experience with a blind woman in terms of being a blind person, and I personally find that quite comforting, I suppose, and certainly it's good for me to have someone who can relate in a practical and, I suppose, not so much sympathetic but more sort of empathetic way to my experience. And I also think that it's, as a person who likes also to be supportive, I think it's in some ways good for that side of me that I can be understanding of their position as a blind person as well.
Well, I think Jeff's got the right idea there. I think that that would be what I would look for in a relationship, probably a blind woman might identify more with the maybe the way I look at things or how I feel about things, and maybe that's the kind of relationship I'd rather have now.
I guess I'm thinking of an answer to this question to tie in with what you said earlier about characteristics, Paul, because I think that one of the things that I bring and that I think is very important is a tendency to not only communicate more verbally, but perhaps to communicate in a way about relationship, about what's going on or what needs to go on. And as I think about what you were saying early on, I think that, in fact, I feel even more of a of an awareness of the importance of doing that, and even more of a commitment to make sure that I do that, because if I don't do that, there's often, especially with sighted people, there's a lot that's left unsaid, and there's a lot that if I don't do that, there's a lot that can sort of get managed by other people. So I think a certain kind of verbal communication on a feeling level, on a, about the relationship, but also a certain organization or task-mindedness that is part of my survival, to plan, to be, I mean, just when I think of what I have to do, even just to arrange where I'm going, and I, you know, I know I need to arrange or plan what I'm wearing. Well, those are skills, and those are skills that go into a relationship. And you know, I mean, they can also be, there can be a downside of that. There can be too much planning and too much talking about relationship and too much talking about feelings. But I think those are things that some of us women who are blind would tend to bring. I think those are things that I tend to bring.
This is Rachel in Orlando, and I don't think I could say it any better than any of the people who have gone before me here. I probably should bring my husband into this and ask him what he thinks. But but yeah, I think the feelings, you know, because we do tend to have to communicate more verbally than most people, or just, you know, because of the blindness that's in nature. We probably do communicate differently, more thoroughly, possibly. You know, women in general tend to bring more of the feeling side into things and be mindful of that. So you put those together, and I think that's one of the qualities that blind women bring to a relationship.
What do sighted women bring to a relationship that's different?
It's Debbie again. Sighted women are going to bring a different level about appearance, you know, and that could be not only physical appearance, but even the appearance of something in writing or the appearance of the house or, you know, just a whole different level of awareness about that. And that can be both pro and cons.
Gosh, I thought there would be more people who'd want to jump in on that. I would suggest that some of the things that sighted women might bring to a relationship are the ability to drive, and therefore an entirely different kind of relational operation comes into play. I think there's some equity between two blind people, but I think when you do mix blind and sighted, what you end up with is a tendency for there to be roles that aren't divided equitably, or aren't perceived that they're divided equitably. I think a sighted woman also brings to a relationship with a blind person, whether she intends to or not, a comparison with what sort of relationship she would have had with a sighted person. And I'm not sure whether we come out better or worse. I'm not suggesting that. But I think the comparison's there. Whereas for blind people, I don't think that comparison happens as much. And I think the other characteristic that I would point to that I think a sighted woman brings to a relationship is a tendency to compartmentalize more. It's been my experience observing relationships between blind men and sighted women that sighted women actually have a much larger number of outside activities that don't involve the blind person in order to effectively and appropriately perhaps create a way of being comfortable in two roles, one in a role as a as a sighted person in a blind community, and the other a role as a sighted person in a sighted community. So those are certainly some thoughts that I have. I don't know if anybody wants to chime in with other things or argue with any of the suggestions I've made.
I think we have to differentiate, or I'm going to make an assumption here, that you're talking about totally blind as opposed to sighted being fully sighted and can include partially sighted, because partially sighted would have some of the benefits and several layers of quotations as sighted. The ability to go out and go shopping without having to have somebody go with you and read things for you, she can do it. The ability to drive, yet I know some sighted people who are really bad drivers or don't drive at all, so that could be or couldn't be. And here again, the problem with these generalizations is that every time I say one of these things, you can immediately remember, you can immediately think of exceptions to it. I've often thought that blind people who are in relationships with sighted people have the potential to live a fuller life than when you're in a relationship with a totally blind. As far as the appearance thing goes, here again, that varies from person to person, too. Yeah, I would tend to say that it's true, but I know of some sighted people that don't seem to care a whole lot about appearance, and I know of some blind people that really make a concerted effort to care about it. So, I don't know. It's hard to, as I say, with all these kind of generalizations, we can all think of exceptions to them.
Well, I think that there are advantages for a blind-sighted relationship, like Paul mentioned about the wife driving. That would be a convenient thing, and also maybe she could help with the appearance and things. Like if you want to know how you're looking, she could help you with how you look and act and things. But there are sometimes, I suppose, some stresses that's involved with the sighted and blind relationship, which we've talked about before.
Gary, I'm going to very vehemently disagree with one thing you said. And you said your wife could help you with the way you act. A, that is not her responsibility. And B, that is not her, not her responsibility. And to have your spouse, your other, do that for you, you are basically supplanting your own persona. You're responsible for your personality, and you're responsible for your behavior. Your significant other or your spouse is not. And I think it's very dangerous for you to even have said that. Having said that, my own ex, who had vision but not a full vision, but she believes that she did, woke up one morning and said, "You know, I never really wanted to marry a blind man," and our relationship went downhill from that. And I've been, spending many years trying to figure out, what I could have done better to make that happen. I've been listening to this. We didn't have separate lives per se. In fact, one of our issues was that, she wanted to go into the church pastorate, but I was supposed to pay for all of the goodies that went along with it. And if you're in a church pastorate, you can't do it alone. Your spouse goes in with you. I mean, that's not the way it works, but realistically, that's the way it happens. And that broke up that. And in fact, she really didn't want to marry. Be married to a blind guy. She should have thought of that 8 years, 10 years before she did.
I didn't mean that to teach you how to act. A blind person should know how to act if there's going to be a relationship. I don't know why I said it that way.
The gentleman who didn't identify himself, and I think it may be Arnold, but I'm not sure, brought partially sighted folks up, and that was a group that we really left out last week. And I think that it might be interesting to see whether we think there are some special characteristics that partially sighted people, and in this case we're talking about women right now, that partially sighted women bring to a relationship. with, and at the moment we're talking about with a blind person, because we just can't explore all the variables. There's just not enough time. So let's explore that. Are there special characteristics? And I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Mr. Vasalia, you would like to discuss if you thought there were some specific characteristics that partial vision created for your wife that wouldn't apply to a sighted person and wouldn't apply to a blind person either.
Yeah, I am Arnold, and somebody asked whether I am totally blind, been blind since birth. I think that partially sighted people, the more they can see, especially if they can see well enough, for example, to ride a bicycle. But even if they can see well enough to travel around independently and to read, even if it's with modification with some monocular or something, but they can go into a store and read the labels on things and read the prices. And I think they actually, are a compromise. They have some of the qualities of sighted people, and then they have an understanding of blind people more so than some sighted people might have. But I definitely think that the partially sighted and the totally blind are two separate groups of people. And the partially sighted would tend more toward what it's like to be able to see than what it's like to be blind. That being more true the more they can see.
It's Debbie again. I guess I would think that it would depend on the degree of vision. I mean, there are some low partials and high partials. And my experience at times around some high partials is that it's almost like a kind of pecking order where I have felt that the high partial tended to want to dominate and try to almost, I'm thinking of one particular situation, almost tell me where my next breath is going to be coming from. And I don't know, I mean, I'm sure, I know of high partials that certainly don't do that. So that, I don't mean to imply that that's an always, you know, kind of generalization. But I think that there are situations where high partials perhaps end up kind of wanting to use whatever vision they have to control things, or to be in control and to perhaps see themselves as being more on the sighted end of things. I think, to keep it on the relationship subject, and I think it's real important whether there's a degree of vision or not to try to keep a relationship so that it's two equal partners and not a parent-child kind of a relationship. And that's where I think the danger can come in, both of a partial or of a blind person, you know, kind of thinking, oh, well, the person with vision will fix everything and they can tell me, you know, everything about how I look or how I should act or whatever, you know, just to kind of cap off on things that others have said.
There's two ways that this imbalance can come about. One is if the blind person allows the sighted person what if the sighted person kind of asserts, you know, makes the blind person dependent on them, and the other is if the blind person allows the sighted person to, or allows themselves to become dependent on the sighted person, and some might say that could be one and the same thing, but I think there's a subtle difference between the two. And I think negotiating the right amount of independence for the blind person within that kind of relationship is a kind of issue that might not be so much in a blind-blind or sighted-sighted relationship. But that's not to say that it wouldn't exist at all. If you've got someone who's got strengths in some areas and not so much in others, it still can be easy enough for you to become dependent on your partner on for certain things, and so I suppose that's an issue with all relationships, but I think there's an added dynamic there, and I suppose these things can slide a bit over time, which is a bit of a trap. I suppose if I was to enter into a blindsided relationship, that would be something that I'd want to try and sort out from the beginning, try and get the get some kind of understanding on the level of independence that I'd be allowed to have.
I'm Arnold again. I think that you have to recognize that blind people and sighted people, whether we like to admit it or not, have different cultures. That's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just a thing. And I think that it depends on how well the one person is willing or able to function in the other person's culture. This can be true, be it interracial or two people from different countries or whatever. If the blind person can function well in the sighted world, or the sighted person is willing to learn about the world of the blind and how they do things, the fact that one is blind and one is sighted is going to matter less than if the blind person really doesn't function very well in the sighted world and doesn't really care to, and the sighted person doesn't really have any interest in learning about the world of the blind, you know, talking computers and talking this and that, and they don't care, then you're going to have real problems.
I have heard a lot of sighted women say that one of the reasons that they've gotten out of a relationship is no matter what they did, they couldn't gain acceptance in the blind community. It didn't matter how open they were to it. There was a barrier that was put up, and they were never allowed to get past that. I think if there is a single complaint that I've heard more often from sighted people, women in particular, engaged in relationships with blind men, that's the complaint, that essentially that she can never be one of the boys, or or frankly, one of the in-group. And I guess if we go back to where we were, to partials, I'd like to make a couple of suggestions and see what people think. I think that partials are in an awful position many times. That is, they're somewhere between the devil and the deep blue sea. They're neither fully blind nor fully sighted, and they don't really fit in well in either of those two groups. And so it's been my experience looking at relationships that involve partial women that they try to act as though they're a part of the sighted world at the same time as they're seeking acceptance from the blind world, and often find themselves caught in the middle. I think that blind people tend to learn skills that they can do no matter how their vision is. I think partially sighted people tend to continue to try to use their vision to perform tasks long after their vision disappears. And I think this is particularly true of partially sighted women, rather than men, perhaps. I certainly think the points that other people made are valid, but I think that a partially sighted woman brings to a relationship a confusion that's very, very difficult for others to deal with. And that's why my experience has been that what you often see are partials marrying partials, because then you've got two fish out of water essentially clinging together and swimming together. So I don't know if people would like to respond or react to any of those blatant generalizations.
Yeah, I would like to state on that I was a partial for a very long time, 28 years. And out of those 28 years, I probably spent 18 years in dating relationships and just going out and enjoying life the best I could. My biggest apprehension was, no matter how much fun I was having, no matter how many great people that I met in my walks of life, I got the sense that men who were seriously attracted to me were men who tended to want to do for me. They were going to take care of me. They were going to make everything right for me. And in digging back through their history, they've been divorced or in previous relationships, and they had controlling partners, and their attraction to me was they were going to try to control me because I wasn't going to be able to control them. Yet, I did fit in to the sighted world and somewhat in the blind society also.
Hi, it's Debbie Hazelton again. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Paul, because I think that it's often very hard for someone to know with a partially sighted person how much can you see. And it's even hard for a partially sighted person to communicate that. A lot of times, partials, well, they not only differ amongst themselves, but they differ even from day to day or in different times of day. I mean, there are partials that can see well when they're not in the sunlight, and others that can see well only in the sunlight. And there are some that can see well, but not at night. And I mean, it's just, and then different degrees of acuity and all of that. So being able to communicate that, and I mean, even to being able to know what to expect of themselves, much less, you know, for others to know what to expect. So I think many times partially sighted people have a much harder time. I think they have a harder time getting their needs met, and I think all of that contributes to some of what I said earlier about, you know, maybe trying to fit in more to the sighted world and a tendency to want to be more controlling, perhaps. Just attempting to feel a sense of control, to feel a sense of self-confidence. So I totally agree with what you said. I think that they often have a much harder time in many ways than those of us who are totally blind.
I've actually had a little bit of sight, but I tend to identify with the totally blind community because for the most part, my ways of being and doing fit in with what they do, and I think we have to be a bit careful with the partially sighted term. And I think maybe we're quite rightly thinking of of people with more sight than I have. And I think it is true that people with that amount of sight do have difficulty in determining where they sit. But the two points I wanted to make: one was that my small amount of sight has made a difference in the major relationship that I've had, and in that it did mean that I could do certain things that she couldn't do, which proved to be helpful. For example, the one that comes to mind immediately is things like sorting washing. For those who care, and I suppose one should care about things like separating whites from coloureds and reds from everything else, then the small amount of sight that I do have was invaluable for doing that. And I guess totally blind household would have to find other mechanisms for achieving that. That's not to say that they couldn't, but it would be different. There's been the odd other thing too. Occasionally we've bought two saucers which are entirely different and they're going to be different colours, but they've come in the same types of jars. And Amanda said to me, "Can you tell which one's which?" And it's not been that hard for me, but the only way she would have been able to tell would be to crack one open and find out, which is not particularly good if they're in airtight jars. So there is that. And the other thing that occurred to me was that now I'm just starting to embark on a relationship with someone who, as far as we can tell so far, has pretty much the same amount of sight as I do. And even though we've both got fairly small amounts of sight, it is still a bit of sight. And I'm kind of excited, really, to see what kind of differences that brings to this relationship over the relationship that I've had in the past.
Are there other characteristics that sighted men bring to relationships with blind women?
This is Patty Starkey from Portland, Maine. The characteristics did not solely apply to men being more caretakers in the relationship of women who are sighted and take on the task of a relationship with blind men. It can also be a woman position. So, not that it's bad, it just is. I just find that people who get into the opposite relationships are more nurturing, caring, a little more controlling. They mean well. Sometimes they just go too far. The repercussion to this is the person with the visual issues ends up in a very frustrated situation because you don't want to be ungrateful, but then you don't want to let them think that, hey, they've got control over you. It can be very complicated. I was only in one relationship with a sighted man, and it just didn't work out because I'm too independent.
Yeah, I'm Arnold, and generally the tight-sighted people who would be more apt to get into a relationship with a blind person would be the nurturing, taking care of, quote, controlling, unquote, type people. And that's not necessarily a bad thing if you like that. However, if you don't like that, it could definitely get in the way.
Hi, it's Jeff from Brisbane here. It's not always the case where the sighted person has got the control in at least what we as outsiders might consider to be an unbalanced relationship. I can think of a couple of examples where the blind person was well and truly the one in control of the relationship, and the sighted person was doing a lot of running around for them. So it's not all one-way traffic.
This is Rachel in Orlando, and let's see if I can make sense of this here. I think the sighted man brings to the relationship sometimes a dynamic that allows them as a couple to maybe integrate into the sighted world maybe a little more easily than if it was the reverse. I think, you know, maybe even some of the kind of old standards holding true that the man being kind of the head of the household, and it just kind of looks to society maybe a little more quote-unquote normal that the man is taking control versus the woman. That also said, men generally, and there again, this is a very general statement, tend to take control of finances a little more readily than the women do. And so, you know, that's one thing that a sighted man in a relationship in some cases would bring to it, that it's just one of those things that is more easily kind of taken care of and maybe less time spent on having to kind of figure out how all that's done. Doesn't make it right, but that's just one of those kind of characteristics there, I guess.
Hi, it's Debbie Hazelton again. I guess one of the things that I've experienced is sighted men being more curious about a blind woman, almost as though a blind woman is an object, curious about the sensuality and the sexuality, and I guess the nurturing, but almost in a different way of, I guess I've known of some where there was an inadequacy on their part, a sense that they had failed in some way, or maybe their health had failed in some way, and they hoped that being able to be with a woman who was blind would give them a sense of someone that would need them, and someone that maybe wouldn't stray. But I guess, you know, I'm really thinking even more about that first part that I said about the, you know, gee, what's it like to be with a blind woman? And, you know, I mean, that's kind of before relationship, but even bringing some of that into a relationship.
It's Jeff from Brisbane again. In response to what Rachel was saying about sighted people facilitating blind people's involvement in sighted society, it is possible that from a purely practical level that might be the case, but the kind of integration or the involvement, participation inside a society that they manage to facilitate may not always be the what kind that the blind person really wants. If the sighted community sees that blind person as being the partner or the dependent of the sighted person rather than a person in their own right, if you know what I'm saying. If they're always seen with the sighted person, being led around by them, doing things with them, then the integration or the participation inside society is only so meaningful if they don't manage to achieve some kind of status on their own.
Even if it's not the case that the blind person is dependent on the sighted person, even if they're quite independent, from the perspective of people outside the relationship, my experience has been, and in my own relationships and talking with sighted people about other mixed relationships, is that people always assume that the blind person is dependent on the sighted person, and that does create an interesting and sometimes difficult dynamic.
A friend of mine who was in a relationship with a sighted man, I remember that she was telling me, she came home very upset one day and she called me up and in tears, and she said, say I was with my partner, they did something, I don't remember where they went, and someone approached them and actually started praising the man for being with her and saying, you'll be rewarded for this. And of course, this is a very primitive and extreme approach, but it kind of reflects how some parts of the society might view this.
When we run into situations like this, we can either sit back and let it happen and say, wow, I wish it didn't happen like that, or we can sort of take control and make sure it doesn't happen, or if it happens, make sure that they know that what they thought isn't quite really the way it is. And I'm Arnold again.
I'd like to talk about another kind of relationship between sighted men and blind women that I've observed. I think we've described a number of the characteristics, and I think that it's actually really interesting how many of the characteristics we've gotten to. But the other kind of relationship that I've seen has kind of been hinted at, and that is where there are actually fairly high expectations of what the blind woman will bring to the relationship in terms of the way she'll look after the house, in terms of the way that she'll raise children, in terms of the degree to which she will devote herself virtually exclusively to the needs of this sighted person. And these high expectations, though, are framed, I think, often in an environment that has a tendency to become unhealthy, because it's sort of saying, because you're blind, you're not likely to work, so you can be appropriate and effective in terms of running my house, you'll do a great job, and more than that, you'll actually be grateful to me because I've given you a chance to show what you can do, and I've given you the opportunity to be involved with a sighted guy, which is really a pretty cool thing for me to allow you to be. So I don't know if others have seen that sort of relationship, but that's often another kind of relational thing that happens between sighted men and blind women.
I had a very short relationship with one particular sighted person. I've had quite a few relationships with sighted people, but this is a specific one that I'm talking about, and he actually hid the fact that he was seeing a blind woman. It was cool for him to be around the people I knew and to be around my friends and my family and to sort of play the role of being my partner at the time, but it was not cool for him to take me to meet his friends or his family. And it took me a few weeks to sort of understand that that's what was happening. at the beginning, I just thought that it was a coincidence that I didn't get to see his friends and family. And when I understood that and I confronted him about that, he didn't even deny it. And that's when I decided to end the relationship right then and there.
What does a blind man bring to a sighted relationship? What are the characteristics that a blind man brings to a sighted relationship?
This is Rachel in Orlando, and just another thought I'll throw out here. Maybe I'll do a little better job of explaining this one than the last one. I'm not sure my points came across very well the last time, but anyway, I'm thinking that a blind man brings into a relationship more of the feeling aspect than the visual, and women kind of tending to be more of a feeling-oriented, emotional, whatever type. I would think that, you know, maybe it would be possibly more on an equal playing field, so to speak, when you have a blind man who isn't used to having so much of a visual aspect, and they have to verbally communicate more than a sighted man does.
Hi, it's Debbie Hazelton again. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, so what is it that makes me feel more attracted to a blind man at this point? And I think it's the emotion, it's the affection, it's a different level of presence where I guess just in the communication or even just in the way of being physically present, there's more of a, I think the blind man brings maybe a certain vulnerability of being there, of just being available, being present in a way that's different, that I guess in a way is comforting to me, and it does bring that equality or that potential for equality that I think is just so vital.
Well, this is Gary Wood again. I think we're more about feeling and we don't have to the relationship doesn't depend on looks, I guess, or sighted people look at things from the standpoint of how something looks, but blind people go according to how something feels.
I would perhaps play the part of devil's advocate. This is Jeff Shang from Brisbane. I obviously haven't had relationship with a man sighted or blind, so it's really hard for me to say, but I kind of wonder whether it really is true that blind men are generally more communicative, more sensitive, etc., etc. I would have thought that it would be, you know, that the blind men would have just as much ability or inclination to be uncommunicative, insensitive, all the things that bother me about the male personality and things that I have to constantly work on, as anyone else would.
Perhaps that kind of relationship between a blind man and a sighted woman is a relationship where often the sighted woman feels a greater degree of security because, and often also I think perhaps a greater sense of being appreciated because every day she can see what she's contributing and every day she can also interact. I think that this is the relationship or the kind of relationship that seems to fall apart the most. And it's really interesting because it appears that after a while, the relationship begins to pall. And I'm not sure that I understand exactly why that is. But I think in really good relationships, and I've seen lots of really wonderful ones that work for a lifetime and are truly wonderful relationships, but there are an awful lot where either one partner or the other becomes really uncomfortable with the relationship, and I think that that's often the way that things happen when we develop and grow, we become a little bit different. I think I am going to move us along because I'd like to talk about the one other group or the one other kind of grouping that we so far tonight haven't talked about, and that is, what does a blind man bring to a relationship with a blind woman? What are some of the characteristics, good, bad, and indifferent?
I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't hear that in your last question it was a blind man and a sighted woman. I guess I just answered it assuming we were just talking about what does a blind man bring to any relationship with either a blind or a sighted person. So what I said before is still true of what I think a blind man brings to a blind woman. And again, emotion, companionship, just that whole idea of presence.
This is Jeff from Brisbane. I actually wanted to make a point on the previous point that Paul was making, but I suppose it could just be as valid for a blind man with in a relationship with either. But I wonder perhaps, particularly with a blind man with a sighted woman, and this perception of it being more secure and so on, whether that's actually a false sense of security. In following up my own point, I would think that a blind man would be as capable of straying, of having affairs, etc., using different mechanisms to facilitate them, granted, but still as able and possibly as willing to have them as a sighted man might be, and for a sighted woman to think that this is less likely just because he is blind, maybe that's a false sense of security, and in the end is part of the reason why these things fall apart. Amanda, were you wanting to say something?
I guess I'll just comment about things falling apart, at least from my experience, and I don't know why this is, but I've found when I've been involved in relationships with sighted people that there has been some point where I'm an extremely independent person, and I don't know what the point is, but at some point sighted people expect that will change and that I will become more dependent on them, and I guess that's what they want, and I've found that's been a big contributor to things starting to fall apart in those relationships, at least for me.
There are different kinds of blind people, and not every blind person is the same as everyone else, and there's probably some blind people that are nice people, and then there's blind people that aren't not so nice, I suppose, and that can be involved with any relationship.
This is Cliff, and I think that perhaps in the relationship where with the blind man and sighted woman, that perhaps the blind man may not take as much of a leadership role, perhaps, as he would in a relationship with another blind person.
Okay. I guess I'd like to pick up on the point that Jeff made, because I think it actually has a lot of validity. One of the things that we talked about last week was the degree to which growing up, less was expected of blind youngsters, and therefore I think blind men often bring less to a relationship than blind women do. They're less domestically capable. They tend to have been built up to the point where they sometimes think a little bit more of themselves than they should. And I think that, I guess my experience has been that many blind men have demonstrated a degree of insensitivity to what women want that always sort of shocks me. It shouldn't, because there's no reason that they should be different from the yabos that are many men who are out there. But I think Jeff's point is really well taken, that we're perhaps giving romanticizing blind men a little bit too much, and perhaps aren't looking at some of the realities that blind men bring to relationships. Often as well, I think, blind men bring to a relationship They've kind of been brought up by mommy and they've been taken care of. And I think the same kind of need transfers sometimes into the relationship that they're having with the blind woman. There's an expectation that that the blind woman, or frankly the sighted woman, will do things the same way that mommy did, and this may be a male characteristic as well, but I think it's pretty predominant, or more predominant among blind men, because I think blind men are accustomed to a much more kind of monistic understanding of the way that they relate to the world that's provided to them by the family that they've grown up with, that hasn't made nearly so many demands on blind men as it does on blind women.
This is Rachel, and so I guess I could jokingly say that the best of both would be a person who became blind a little bit later on in life, so they didn't grow up with all of that, and but that could bring a different set of circumstances altogether.
Okay. Let's see if people have last comments, and then we're going to wind things down, I think. So, any final comments, any final thoughts that people would like to bring to the topic of relationships?
Hi, it's Debbie Hazelton again. I thought a lot about this over this last week, and I was at one of the places where I work, and I was noticing how, after being in this particular place a year now, that I really have such great relationships with the people there. I mean, we laugh and we have great conversation, and I feel very much appreciated and, you know, liked by them, and you know, there's just a great level of enjoyment and a great understanding between us. And then I thought about how if I was to even just start going places with those people, or if I was to get into any kind of a more daily routine of spending time and even getting more intimate with any of them, how even though the liking of each other might still be there, it would require such a different level of work and communication. And I guess I thought a lot about that and just was noting that and saying that how important it is, if I was ever going to be, if I ever am in another relationship with a sighted person, how much more important it is to not just take for granted that the liking, that the good feelings will make other things just take care of themselves. How important it is to be able to address some of those issues of independence and all of that. And so then the question for me comes up of, well, you know, is it worth it? How much work do I want to do? It depends. I guess it really depends on the relationship and you know, how easy is it? How easy is it to communicate? How comfortable is it? And that's where, at this time anyway, I do feel that it's easier with someone who's blind.
This is Patty. In going with what Debbie said, all relationships, whether they're romantic relationships, work relations, or simply fantastic friends, the primary thing is communication. How you communicate is different in every relationship.
My name is Raymond from Oklahoma City. I've been on both sides, and I can speak by being married to a blind person and a sighted person. And I feel that like two blind people that are married have got more things in common than a sighted person and a blind person, because there's more to understand with a blind person. I mean, you have more to understand. You understand each other.
Yeah, I'm Arnold in Raleigh, and if we had two people who were exact clones of each other and one could see and the other one is blind, I would prefer to be in a relationship with a sighted person. If for no other reason than the things I brought up before, just that ability to go out and travel around by ourselves, or if she loved, especially if she loved to drive, if she was a car enthusiast too, like me, and wanted to have a little Mazda Miata or whatever and go out riding around and all this kind of stuff. And I think that you can tend to be more included into the sighted world if you have a sighted partner. But you aren't going to find two clones of each other, and one can see and the other one can't. So I would hope that by the time it came down to figuring out whether I wanted to be in a relationship with her or not, the fact she was sighted would be a relatively minor reason among many reasons for me to want to be in a relationship with her.
This is Rachel, and for the sake of saving my marriage, I think I would say that I would prefer to be with a sighted person. Now, all joking aside, when I started this relationship with my husband, I think I can honestly say, as I remember back, that sighted versus blind didn't figure into it.
Hello, this is Amanda from Australia. I think I could say that my preference is to have a relationship with a blind person. I wouldn't completely discount having a relationship with a sighted person, but I think that it's much less likely for a lot of the reasons that we've gone through.
Obviously, what we've been doing tonight is generalizing. We aren't talking about specific individuals, and we're certainly not claiming that all relationships, or even most relationships, bear very much resemblance to any of the particular generalizations that we've described tonight. I think people summed it up well at the end. A relationship needs nurturing and it needs work, and we have to understand the relationship that we're in. What we've managed to do is to persuade those of you who are in relationships to talk with each other and communicate and begin to build together an understanding of where your relationship is going. So, thank you very much for listening. We do appreciate the participation of all the folks who are here this evening, and we look forward to seeing you again on Tuesday Topics on ACB Radio, the voice of the blind community. Next week on Tuesday Topics, we'll discuss what are the specific ways that each of us as individuals have found to get around problems that we have with blindness. Tips and tricks that we use that we think would be helpful to others. We hope you'll bring your tips and tricks so that you can share them with us and share them with blind people all over the world on Tuesday Topics on ACB Radio, the voice of the blind community.